I speak this morning in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. We encounter Jesus this morning in this gospel story. We encounter Jesus after his baptism in the Jordan River with John. After that turning point in his life, after the period of temptation and reflection in the wilderness, after that intense time, Jesus steps back into the public world proclaiming that the kingdom of God is not far away, it's close. And the first action that he performs in that proclamation, the first thing he does is not a miracle, and it's not a healing, and it's not a sermon or a lesson. The first thing Jesus does in his proclamation of the kingdom is to call people, two sets of brothers, to call people into community around him. And he does it in a really remarkable way, and we've heard this story perhaps so many times, it can just slip past us, but let's stop and think about it. When Jesus forms that community around himself, he doesn't set up shop as a wise rabbi or open a school of philosophy and then sit back and wait for people who might be interested to come along and sign up. He doesn't open up a hip new happening church with hip new happening music to attract the hip young people. He doesn't do any of that marketing stuff. What does Jesus do? He goes for a walk on the beach, walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he encounters people. Genuine, real encounters with ordinary folks like you and me. He encounters people, he says, all he says, follow me. And four of them, two sets of brothers, fishermen, Simon and Andrew and James and John, four of them do it. And in those four unlikely guys, walking down the beach behind Jesus, with poor old Zebedee in the background holding these nets and scratching his head, in those four unlikely guys, we see a little miracle happening. In those four unlikely men, we see the mustard seed. We see the tiny, tiny beginnings of this community that's going to form around Jesus. We see the tiny beginnings of the kingdom of God edging its way into our world and being proclaimed as a reality, not far off, but close. In those four unlikely guys, we see the beginnings of something huge that's still happening. We see the beginnings of a reunion between God and his creatures, a reunion between heaven and earth. We see the beginnings of renewal and new life. And it's all happening with those four guys and a walk on the beach. Jesus does it that way for a reason. Jesus is initiating what Archbishop Curry, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, what he calls the Jesus Movement. We're all right here members of the Episcopal branch of the Jesus Movement, and we've got t-shirts to proclaim that for you. This is the Jesus Movement, and it's starting in this little kernel on that beach. And the Jesus Movement is not centered on a new set of ideas. It's not grounded in a new philosophy of life. And it's not about signing up for a new religious organization, hip, square, or something in between. At its very heart, And we can see it stripped down this morning on that beach in Galilee. At its very heart, the Jesus movement is about a community. It's about people, varied people, different people, prepared people and unprepared people, but all people drawn together around Jesus. That's what this is. It's about people being drawn closer to one another as they're drawn closer to Jesus. And in that new closeness, in that closeness with Him, in that closeness with each other, they find something very unexpected. I can guarantee Andrew and Simon and James and John, when they got up that morning, they didn't expect this to happen. But as they drew near Jesus, as they walked down the beach together, what do they find? They find the beginnings of something. They find the presence of God. They find the promise of new life. And from this moment on, their lives will be different. From this moment on, their identities are different. From this moment on, the core of their life is their relationship with Jesus and the others gathered around. And Jesus will gather 8 more of an inner circle, and more will gather around them, because people are finding in this community, in this community centered on this carpenter from Nazareth, people are finding what they're looking for in that. It's true for Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and it's true for us still, too. We're here because we've been called, not as individuals who think the same stuff. We're here because we're called to form community. I once asked a non-Christian but sympathetic sociologist friend of mine why she thought people went to church. And she said, "That's easy. As a sociologist, I know people go to church because other people go to church." And I thought, well, that's pretty cynical. Maybe we should talk some more. But as the years have rolled by, I've realized that probably not in the way my friend intended it, but nonetheless, what she said was true in a different way. We go to church because other people go to church. We go to church because we need each other. I need you, you need me, you need the folks in the pew beside you. We're not here to impress anyone. We're not here to promote our reputations as fine, upstanding citizens. We aren't here because we agree on everything. God knows, this is the Episcopal Church, and, well, there's variety. Let's just put it that way. We aren't here because we just like being around people who are like us. We aren't here because we all like the same kind of music or the same old-fashioned traditions. It's not why we're here. We're not here by really any choice we've made. We're here because at some level, at some time, perhaps a long time ago, perhaps it's happening right now, perhaps it's something you've lived with all your life, or perhaps you're just trying to figure it out at this moment. But we're here because somewhere, sometime, Jesus has called us to be here. Someplace, sometime, you heard, maybe very quietly and gradually, or maybe loud and all at once, somewhere, we heard, "Come and be part of this. Come and join Peter and Andrew and James and John. Come and join the community centered around Jesus. Come and walk down the beach with them." The only way to really answer that call, to be part of a movement, is to join the community. It's to be together. Not on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on Instagram. Being together. Like here. Joining the community, the real, honest to goodness, flesh and blood, concrete, down and dirty, real community. To be part of the movement, we've got to be in there on the beach with the fishermen and all the rest. And it's not always easy. Peter and Andrew and James and John are going to find that out real fast. It's not always easy for us either, living in community with one another. Some people in the gathering we find easy to get along with. Others, maybe not so much, and that's nothing new. Did you hear the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians? They were squabbling. He was trying to put out fires. We've always been this way. Now, it's not always about always agreeing, and it's not always easy. It can take work being together. But what we do is we hang in there with each other because we need each other. What we do is we forgive and we seek forgiveness when we've been wronged and when we've wronged. What we do is we love and we allow ourselves to be loved for real right here. It requires great honesty. It requires a willingness to be a little bit vulnerable, sometimes a lot vulnerable. It requires large doses of patience and even larger doses of humility as we realize how many people are being patient with us. And it requires vast, vast quantities of love. That's what we do here. And it's so important for the world that we be good at that, because the world out there is forgetting all about how to do it. That's what we hold on to. A friend of mine calls it staying on the bus. Staying on the bus with each other. Not because we always think that everybody on the bus is just perfectly peachy, but because we all trust the driver. We stay on the bus together. And that's where we're inviting little Georgia Thomas into this morning, if her parents and sponsors are still up for it, that is. And when we say yes to that, when we say yes to the invitation into real community centered around Jesus, when we say yes to that, when we allow ourselves to be embraced by the community, against all the odds, a miracle happens. Against all odds, right here, on this windy Sunday morning, right here, right now, in this wonderful, crazy, mixed up, forgiving, loving community, in the praise that we offer together, in the sacraments we share, in the encouragement we give to each other, in the forgiveness we offer and accept, in that loving reality against all the odds, we find what we've been looking for. We find that encounter with Christ that we know we need. We find the presence of the living God and the offer of new life. We find Jesus who says to each one of us, you, follow me, and you, and you, and you. You know, I've lived long enough and I've seen enough to know in my heart that what we find here together, we can't find it anywhere else. That's why we're here. So think about the people in the pew beside you. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you turn to each other and say something corny. Just think about them. It's the Episcopal way. Think about the people in the pew beside you. Think about the people gathered in this place. Think of the people who make up this community, this branch of the Jesus movement. Think of the people you've met here who have shaped your life. Think of the people in the past who have gone before us and left us this heritage. Think of the young kids and their parents who are off in the children's chapel right now and who will join us at communion time. Think about all those people. You need them. And they need you. And that's why we're here. In Jesus' name, amen.